Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No!
Is the Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump. Boom!
With Andy Hart.
All right, good to be with you. All right.
Does this microphone put up a little less fight than the one last night?
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Oh,
Mr. Dot Commer
on WEEI.com.
Podcast, immediate reactions to the Patriots 45-0 win over the Chargers. I think that win surprised both of us. We weren't surprised that the Patriots would win the game, but I think we can both be surprised with how they won.
My simple reaction is, where the hell has that been all year? Because I would argue, we've talked a lot about how most of their games competitive, they win, they lose, whatever. That was non-competitive. They were dominant from the first play of the game through the final snap of the game in all three phases. This, and you know, we almost every time they win, Bill says complimentary football, and but that was dominant complimentary football, not just like, you know, a play here or a play there. They absolutely, I mean, Anthony Lynn should be fired probably right now.
Well, the special teams coach first.
Well, but they've already fired the special teams coach. This is their second one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they replaced one of them like 2 weeks ago because they were so crappy in the kicking game. And now they have not enough guys on the field, too many guys on the field.
Not enough guys again.
Yeah, like, what are we doing here? And yeah, they are bad. But, and I actually was just saying to you this before we started, I'm not going to use the they were bad angle to like diminish the Patriots win, because they've played bad teams this year, most notably the New York Jets on the road, and were down 10 in the fourth quarter and needed to come back and kick a field goal as time expired.
Right.
They went out there. This wasn't play down to anybody's level. This wasn't like down to the wire. They started fast. They started in dominant fashion. And they even overcame just the little snippet of the Chargers driving down. They stop them. They force the field goal. The Chargers miss it. And it was over. The game ended right there, basically. The pass rush, they dominated both lines of scrimmage. Yep. The offensive line kicked ass and took names. They ran the ball 40-plus times. I think they had 27 rushes by halftime.
Number.
Yep. Like, that's a game's worth of rushes in the first half. And the defensive front, suddenly they have a pass rush. They had, I think, 11 QB hits, 3 sacks. Like, and it was everybody. It was a different guy every time.
And it wasn't even like they were bringing extra guys. It was with 4 guys.
They ran a couple little twists and stunts up front to get – but, it, you know, it was Uche. It was Winovich. It was Guy. It was Butler. It was John Simon. It was like Wise. Literally, almost every – I'm going to say literally every guy who lined up on the front either got a sack or a QB hit or – and, you know, Justin Herbert, who has 6 300-yard games, has looked, you know, taken the league by storm. I mean, I don't even really blame him, because he never had a chance. He was overwhelmed. Now, they had injuries on the offensive line, but, you know, that happens. You got to overcome those. So, do the Patriots have Jermaine Illuminora at left tackle, okay?
Right.
So,
right.
Bosa, you destroy the game for your team. Like, you didn't. So, I'm just going to give the Patriots full credit for – I mean, basically everything except the passing game, the offensive passing game, they did at a borderline elite level. I even, you know, at one point they had pass rush, Herbert dumps it off, and suddenly like 6 secondary members swarm and tackle the guy short. And I'm like 6 weeks ago, they couldn't tackle anybody. Like, they were getting out of the way. And so, I mean, Bill talked about it a little bit in his post-game Zoom. Like, they've worked, they've gotten better, and it kind of all came together. Like, you've seen signs, I guess. He's seen signs. They've been working. Like, it came together. Everything they needed to do better, they did better in this matchup. Now, I have no idea what that means. Like, big picture, if you want me to say, oh, does that mean they're going to the Super Bowl, or does that mean they're going to the playoffs? All right, let's relax for a little bit. But they kicked ass in this game.
No question. I think that's second straight week the defense has played well. They played well last week against Murray. I think that was a good bounce back after the Houston debacle, which I think was not their best performance, both on the field and off the field by the coaching game plan. So I give the coaches credit. They put the players in the right position to make plays. Then special teams, I mean, the Chargers were horrific, but give credit to Cam Acord and Gunner and those guys for making the plays. Like, not only it wasn't just the return for the touchdown, they got the block kick at halftime, which really put the nail in the coffin, and then just the long runs by Gunner. So, and that sort of speaks to the offense too. Like, getting those big returns makes up for your deficiencies by giving short fields.
Yeah, the offense ran the ball. The offensive line controlled the line of scrimmage. Another, I wouldn't say flashy great day by Damian Harris, but another.
What was it? 80 yards on what, 16 yeah. carries, something like that.
I mean, it's nothing that's going to jump off any stat sheet or fantasy football, but
if the game was close, he probably would have been over 100 yards because he would have played in the fourth quarter.
Correct. They got Sony. It turned into a JV game late.
Yes.
And Bill kind of devalued that, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we got much out of it or something. Yeah.
Like, somebody basically asked him, like, how, you know, you didn't have a preseason. You've talked about a lack of a preseason. How good was it to get some guys some reps? And he kind of, like, crapped all over it.
Yeah.
Well, then why'd you put him in the first place? Just to make sure people didn't get hurt? Like,
right. Or,
so that was a weird answer. But, short fields, the punt returns. Yeah, Gunner is the guy that gets the name in the paper kind of thing. But the blocking was perfect.
Well, I was going to say, it's not like he juked a million guys in these returns. He beat a couple guys, but he got the main lane that he needed to get the burst of speed. And then made guys missed from there.
Yeah, no question that. Now, I'd have to go back and look at all the specific names, but Bill's talked a lot about the core guys, the Cody Davis and the Matthew Slater and those guys, Justin Bethel, that, you know, I mean, that played out, but it's just so funny that they were so inept on returns most of the year. And now the last couple of weeks, it's like they're on the verge of breaking every time they're back there. Kicks and punts,
yeah.
You know, with Moncrief last week with kicks, and then Bethel the last 2 weeks with punts.
Gunner.
I don't know why I said Bethel there. That's weird. Bethel Johnson. He used to be a kick returner for them a long time ago.
Long time ago, way back.
It's strange. Like, it almost feels strange to me this game because of how good it looked. And you're like, literally, my reaction is, where's that been? How can you go from so crappy that they've played at times where it looks like they have so many problems and they have issues in so many areas to, like, think about how bad the pass rush, for example, was in Houston, yeah. Right? Like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever that was.
Yeah.
The tackling I brought up earlier, the times where, like, the 49ers, like, they couldn't tackle anybody. Right. Now suddenly, you know, because you'll get the big play, the sacks and the interceptions, but they tackled better. They were hitting. They had the ugly play early. That I thought
was
really
good. The first drive was kind of like iffy. Like, is this going to be the same thing we've seen? But then they got it together.
Right. And like, they had that one play where Duggar and Jennings just let the guy get up and run after he caught it diving, got up and ran. And I legitimately don't know if they had a flashback to college and didn't
realize that the play is still going.
You got to touch the guy. But after that, coverage, they had great coverage. Gilmore had another good day.
Like, Allen, only 5 or 6 catches, I want to say.
Yeah, for like 40 yards, five.
Well, like, that's going to happen. That's who he is. Like, holding him to that is a good day.
Right. And, like, they didn't
didn't do much.
I think he had 4 catches on, like, 10 targets maybe. Like, it was a low completion percentage. He wasn't, you know, impact plays. J.C. Jackson with another interception. Chase Winovich with a really nice defensive play for his interception.
I think he sought that out and did a nice job.
Yep. That's what's amazing to me. Like, how can you go from – and also, I would say, the way they went from so bad to so good in a relative short
– there was no in-between.
Right. And then it makes you wonder, well, could it go the other way? Like short week, the Rams, could it go the other way? But that's not what this is about. That's for a later podcast, later in the week, short week, later podcast. But like, I am a little bit, you know, I used to do the post-game show on Patriots.com and we would like, it's your fresh reaction, even fresher than this. Like we didn't even listen to the post-game. It was, you know, the second the game ends, you do it. And it's like, that's just amazing what I saw. Like that was an amazing borderline perfection performance. Again, you remove the passing game, which they still don't, they don't have a passing game.
Don't say that.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, unless blind people are watching the game, it's obvious.
Well, Cam's doing a good job. He's a good quarterback. Have you seen who he's throwing to? He's a good quarterback.
Well, he is 6-5 now. He has a winning record as the Patriots quarterback, right?
Yes, he does.
Can't take that away from him. Nope. Winning record. He has 11 touchdowns rushing. Can't take that away from him.
Nope.
He has 5 touchdowns passing. You can't take that away from him. In 11 games, he has 5 touchdowns in the year 2020. And I'm sorry, there's still throws. Like, there was one in the back of the end zone late to Myers, maybe. And it's just like, it left his hand. And I said, that has no chance. Like, it's like the second it leaves his hand.
I think that I give Josh McDaniels credit. He called a good game today. I think he put Cam in the positions to succeed with, I think, running the ball. That was a big focus. Like, they had a lot of those design, more option plays. And even just Cam back to pass, I think they kind of put in his head, like, you can take off and run.
Right.
I think before he was trying to force into windows or throwing it out of bounds, whereas today he kind of took off and used his legs. So I think that's who the Patriots are moving forward, is Cam is sort of a run-first guy in a way.
Well, they're a run-first team. We've said that. Just run.
No question. I'm talking Cam specifically.
Well, first of all, that opening drive, my thumbs up, thumbs down, I had Josh on the thumbs up. I thought that opening drive was ridiculously impressive, not just for the execution, but the different types of plays, the motion Cam out wildcat play. They ran a speed option to the right side. They had a screen pass. It was like they did what they wanted to do, but it wasn't predictable. It was like they were like, I don't know if that was scripted. That may have been scripted. That may have been Belichick, Jed Fish, everybody scripted right out the gates. But they set the tone for the game. They had the fourth down conversion they went for on that. So that was really – and, you know, people had talked about this week. Who was it? Burt Breer threw it out there. Like, was this an audition for a potential job interview? Or, you know, could he be the next Chargers coach, Josh McDaniels? If the owners, if the Spanos family was watching, then – Josh McDaniels should get a job interview off of that because that was impressive.
Yeah. I think we kind of just talked about it. Like, this is who the Patriots are. If they're going to be successful down the stretch in these last couple of games, they're going to have to be like that offensively. Run the ball, control the clock. That was the other thing. Those drives were 6-7 minutes, and I think that goes a long way. If they're going to want to win games down the stretch, is to limit the opposition's time on the field and take advantage of your own drives.
But you just said it. This is who they are. Who are they? Because, like, you know, they're Bill said last
that week, runs the ball and takes advantage.
I don't care about that. Who are they? They've won 4 of their last 5 games. Are they that good a team?
No. They're a team that can. They're not a team that's gonna go out and beat anybody. I'm not saying that, but I think they're a team that has proven that they are a potential playoff team. Like, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, we said this team has no business making the playoffs. Now I think you can say, yes, they could be a playoff team, but they're so far behind the eight ball to begin with that it's harder. It's hard for them to actually do that.
And I don't – even talking about the wins, the Cardinals look like crap again. And the Ravens have played like crap since they played the Patriots. Now, they had some issues in there, but they haven't played well. Yep. So it's like,
the Raiders back in week 3 were trying to talk ourselves into that was a good win. They stink.
Right. It's like you don't – I mean
– Seahawks, they went to Seattle, played them competitive. They lost the freaking Giants today.
Right, which makes everything harder and harder to have a big picture assessment other than it's the NFL. On any given Sunday, any team can win. But I still – I mean, it's weird because they've won 4 of their last 5. But I don't feel as good about their performances or their potential or their level of play as I feel like I should a team that's won 4 of its last 5. Like, that's impressive.
So, but you admit you feel better about the team.
Oh, you have to. How could you not?
I know that. But you don't think that they're like a playoff team is what you're saying?
No. Like, 4 out of 5, that means you're a 12-plus win team over the course of a season.
Right.
Right? That team that's winning 4 out of 5 should be a 12-win team. I don't think the Patriots are a 12-win team when I see what I still see.
Oh, I'm not saying that either. I think that they're sort of what I said they were at the beginning of the year, like a 10 or a max 11 wins.
Yeah, I just – if they have to play good teams – and, like, this is a big game Thursday night.
Huge.
And now they'll have excuses on their side, a short week, West Coast, they're uncomfortable or whatever. But this is a big game for them because this is –
well, because they got no help today in the standings.
Well, but even – I don't care about that. This is a playoff-caliber team you're playing. So, playoff-caliber team Arizona, you won. But yep. Like I said, how good do they look? What is their quarterback hurt? There were some sort of issues there. And the same thing with the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you have another one.
Yep.
This is a playoff-caliber team playing relatively good football, right?
Yeah, you could argue that, yeah.
On the road. Because
short week.
Like, what do you do with this opportunity slash challenge moving forward? And I think this is – and it all could end up being too little too late. You dug a hole that you may not – you could – I mean, we talked about it the other day, those 538 stats. They can win out, and there's still like a 3% chance they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So – and they didn't get any help from what happened with the Colts winning and the Browns winning and the – like, right, they didn't get a lot of help. In,
they got no help today. Any right. team they needed to, like, so I think – so the up-to-date 538 stats have them at 16% chance of making the playoffs.
Right. That's not a lot.
No. And that's after – I mean, so let's just do it out. If they beat the Rams, then that goes up to 31%.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll go up, but – like 16%, yeah. 16% chance with 4 games to play, right? Yeah, they're 6-6, 4 games to play.
Yep.
So if you go to the doctor and he says you have a 16% chance to live, you're not feeling real good about yourself, right?
No, but the thing that they can – and Cam Newton talked about it after the game kind of. Like they – we talked about it on the podcast before. They kind of control their destiny in a way. Like if they win the rest of their games, they had, what, 96% chance of making the playoffs. So yeah. – If they win the rest of their games, they're probably more than likely going to get in the playoffs. So then they can look at it in that way. And every game they have the rest of the year is winnable.
Yeah, it's also losable.
I know. That's the thing. But we've said that for the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, and they've won 4 out of 5.
Well, that's my point. Like, we've said that most of the year, and they were riding sort of the up and down. Now they're kind of on an upward trajectory here. Four out of five is an upward – like I said, over a full season, that's a 12 or a 13-win team. Like, that's an elite team. That's a top 2 or 3 seed in the conference kind of team.
Yes.
I don't feel like that about them right now. Even like, though they're doing it at the right time, it's, you know, Thanksgiving, and these are when the games matter the most, and you play your best football, and Belichick teams play their best football. They did. They played their best football of the season today. But I don't know if that's enough.
I'm trying to think. Wasn't it the Colts a couple of years ago that were really bad and turned it on, like, late and then got smoked by the Chiefs in the playoffs? Like, I feel like there was a team like that kind of similar to the Patriots, like, that they did well towards the end of the season and everybody kind of talked themselves up into being this team that could make a deep playoff run and then just got smoked in the first round.
Well, and that would not stun me at all. If they're a 7 seed and they play – I mean, you could play – Kansas City? Yeah, Kansas City.
Yeah, because the Pittsburgh would get the bye, yeah.
Yeah, Pittsburgh gets the bye. You go to Kansas City. Now I know you already went to Kansas City and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I think there's also a chance you could go to that game and be down 21-0 and be like, uh-oh, season's over.
Right.
But let's just – okay, we'll reel that back in. We got that the rest of the week. For the here and for the now, Gunnar Olszewski – had a punt return for a touchdown. Had a touchdown catch from Jarrett Stidham. I don't know if we mentioned that. Jarrett Stidham got basically a half of a quarter late in the game.
Yeah, he had, I think, 2 fewer passing yards than Cam Newton.
Yeah, well, you're very snarky. Maybe the internet's right about you. Do you hate Cam?
No, I don't. I just think it's worth pointing out that he's not a very good passer.
Well, I don't think you need to point that out to anybody.
No, you need to point it out.
Who?
Twitter. You need to point it out. People think – People think that Cam Newton is that's underappreciated. People don't like him. People have this preconceived notion about him, want him to fail. His receivers aren't good. Like, every excuse in the book.
That part's true. His receivers aren't good.
No, they're not. But, like, I think we could argue that another quarterback would have more than 5 touchdown passes this year.
That Jacoby Myers drop early where he seemed – did you – like, he almost seemed stunned. So stunned he dropped it that he didn't really know how to react. Like,
yeah. Maybe he was stunned that the ball was put in the right spot.
Oh, see, you hate him. I'm with Twitter now. You hate Cam.
That was mean. That wasn't – that was just me being an asshole.
I actually liked Cam's – and apparently it's not new. I thought it was new, the Euro step. Oh, Euro, and he did the little – and the finger roll.
Touchdown,
the
yeah.
I liked that. I like that better than, you know, Superman, push people away, look at me. I thought that's more creative.
I would agree.
But he – I mean, nobody can watch him play and say he's a good passer.
No.
Now, you can watch him play and decide he's a good quarterback, he's a good leader, he's a good guy, whatever.
Oh, I agree. He's great at that. Like, he's exceeded expectations there. He's blown my expectations out of the water, probably some guys in the building as well. Like, we can all agree on that.
He can't pass. That's, I mean, you can say both. You can say you like him, he's 6-5, he's a good leader, and he stinks at throwing the football. He can't pass. But we had another example today of the intangibles. When he was doing his post-game Zoom, and Matthew Slater apparently sort of crossed behind the camera, behind the laptop, big smile. I don't even know what he said. He said something to him back and forth. And then a reporter asked him about it, and he said, that's the honorable Matthew Slater, and went into this whole thing. Like, that smile, that dynamic with Slater, like, that's all genuine. That's all real. Right. And what is also real is he can't throw the football.
No, and that sort of also leads me to, like, are the Rams going to be smart enough to sort of force him to throw the football?
I would hope.
And that's sort of the thing. Like, they've kind of got lucky with teams being stupid. Like, the Cardinals last week on 3rd and whatever, allowing him to get the bootleg and then committing the penalty. Like, who knows if they would have won that game without that play.
Okay, so, I'll just make a comparison here. It's weird, but work with me a little bit on it.
Okay.
The Cam Newton Patriots are kind of becoming, in a different way, the Lamar Jackson Ravens. When the Patriots play their best, they can dominate a game like they did today. They looked good.
Yep.
But the second they go up against, let's just say, the Chiefs, which has been the kryptonite to Lamar and the Ravens, and suddenly you're down 14 points in the first quarter.
You're toast.
The wheels fall off. All of a sudden, it's interceptions. It looks terrible. You don't know what to do because I can't run the ball anymore. I got to throw the ball. Like, at their best, I still think that's what they are. They can play their best game, and the Ravens have a good defense. They run the ball. That's what they've been the last couple of years.
Yep.
The Patriots may have a good defense. They may be able to run the ball at a high level. When you get into the postseason, there's a chance that you're suddenly playing a different game, a different style of game that you don't control.
Yep.
No more complimentary football. Nope, because I think I said this to you the other day. I'm no longer calling it complimentary football. I'm calling it supplementary football. They need to supplement the lack of a passing game with everything else. Everything else has to work.
Yes.
And then you get into a matchup in the postseason against, you know, hell, it doesn't even have to be the freaking Chiefs. How about the Browns? The way the Browns played today, the Patriots couldn't stay on the field with them. Now, I'm not saying it would play out the same, but if they get big plays and they get a lead and they're rolling early, because I've started to think the Browns, by the way, this is a total another aside,
are
sort of they're poor man's Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because they have all these offensive weapons. They have this quarterback who is not Patrick Mahomes, but when he's on, he can look really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they also do this thing. They've done it a couple times this year where they score points in a flurry, and you're like, wow, they're rolling. And then, like, it just ends. Like, today, there was like, they're going to score 77 points today.
And then they were at a point where it was like, wow, the Titans can actually get back in this game.
Are the Titans going to kick an onside kick here? Like,
right.
That's a total different aside, but –
no, that's a good comparison, and I think that also speaks to how better the Patriots are when they're playing from ahead. Like, there's no – like, that's right. And that's why the slow starts have been such a big issue, because they're so much better when they control the game. When they control – they dictate how the game's going to be played, because, like you said, if they get into a passing situation where they're down double digits, it's kind of over.
Right, and even today, I would say, let's just say things turned out differently, because everybody's better when they – control the game or play it on their terms. Whatever.
Or get two special teams touchdowns. Like.
Right, but even before that, let's just say 4th and 2, Patriots stopped. Chargers take over. Then let's say they drive like they did, and they convert, and they score a touchdown. And now it's 7-0, and you're chasing. Yep. Like, that game may have felt totally different. It may have – the pressure, the just the way – the dynamic
right.
could have been totally different. But it didn't. No, I'm again, I'm not taking anything away from them. But in my mind, they're still – and that's why I wanted to put that comparison, because the Ravens have been very highly thought of the last 2 years for mm-hmm. large portions of the season. But when you play that way, you have to play it on your terms. Whereas the Chiefs, how many games have we seen the Chiefs down 20 points and then
in a tie in 5 yeah.
We've seen it against the Patriots. Like, oh, the Patriots having their way with Patrick Mahomes in the first half. Well, not in the second half, and it's right. boom. All of a sudden, you thought you controlled the game, and you don't anymore. And right. that's a luxury that those teams have when they're built a certain way.
So would you say the Patriots are no longer like in that middle class of the league, and maybe they've elevated themselves to like the teams like the next tier?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs. You just said it. They have a 16% chance to make the playoffs. So by nature, 7 teams are going to be ahead of them. And there's only 16 teams in the conference. So
yeah. at best, no matter what happens after this week, they're still going to be, I think, in 9th or 10th place in the AFC.
Right, so you're in the bottom half of the conference.
Yeah, but I think, right. Yes, but people are looking at, like, how they've been playing lately.
Well, you can look at how you've been playing yesterday, last week. Oh, Cam.
Like, for instance, the Raiders are ahead of them in the standings, but if they played on the field 10 times in the next 10 weeks, the Patriots would probably win 7 out of 10.
Yeah, probably. 7, maybe 6.
But, like, what I'm saying is things have changed, like, the Raiders aren't as good as they were early in the year. The Patriots are better than what they were early in the year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I'm trying to say that maybe the Patriots are in that next tier in a way. Like they could potentially beat any team if everything went their way, whereas the middle of the league has no chance against the elite teams.
But we've talked about it. The game, the team, the answer to this question is the Denver Broncos. That's your season. I think that's going to end up being your season. It's going to be why your season was not as successful as it could have been, because you lost to Denver at home. That – I just – we.
You could do that. You could do the last drive in Buffalo. You could do the final play in Seattle.
Buffalo's a good team. The Broncos aren't a good team.
Yeah.
Like, Buffalo is going to be a division winner. They are going to be a playoff team, right? So they're a top 4 seed. The Broncos are not. And – you let the Broncos come in. You didn't even go to Denver. In Denver, totally different thing. You let the Broncos come to your house and beat you.
Well, they didn't practice, Andy.
Oh, God. We're going to do that again. We're just going to keep making excuses. I got a little sick of fucking Trent Green today. Excuse me, the language, by the way. I don't know where that came. And then the COVID took him out or something.
I heard that, like, too many times, actually.
Yeah, like, what are we doing here, Trent? Like,
well, like, does that come from – him reading clippings, or does that come from, like, when they have those production meetings with Bill Kaem and the team?
It's possible. I mean, I don't know. Like, definitely some of it was probably clips and, like, just the timeline, looking at facts like this and notes. Yep. And then it definitely could have been influenced by comments from either Bill or Josh or whoever they talked to.
Right.
Yeah, in their production meetings. I don't know, but I just – I don't know. I guess this year that's fine. I'm not big on the whole excuse-making thing. Bill didn't used to be big on it, but now Bill's kind of big on it, so I think everybody else has accepted that we make excuses all the time. I'd rather just focus on today for the here and the now. This was by far, like, because am I wrong and this was even way more impressive than the Miami game that they controlled start to finish?
Yeah, no question. Okay. Better than the Ravens. Like, this was their best win.
Yeah, to me, though, before today, the game they controlled the most was that Miami game, the opener. Like, they played it on their terms.
Yeah.
Today they did that, but it was, like, 10 times better. The punt
was like the old Patriots. Like,
that's what this was. That's what this felt like. Yeah. This felt like the old Patriots.
Like, how many games this year have you been able to write your thumbs up, thumbs down, and have it be done in the fourth quarter?
Right. Yeah. Oh, no. And how many times – talk about felt like the old Patriots. So I used to do Stockwatch on Patriots.com when I worked there. So we, you know, tweaked it a little bit when I came over to the WEEI side, but it's the same thing. You're picking players that are up, players that are down.
Yeah.
I didn't have players that were down today, and that used to happen, I would say, a couple times a year on for the Patriots. It's the first time I was even close this year. Plenty of games this year I've been able to put, you know, Nick Folk misses this and so-and-so does that, and you can pick. Like, today, the only thing that I even really had much consideration of was James White. Did nothing. Like, they threw him the ball three or four times, picked up, like, no yards. It didn't work. And, I mean, that would be the only – almost every other person that stepped on the field did something. Like, even the JV guys were out there, you know, Jawan Williams breaking
it all.
Like, they're all making plays, doing stuff.
Runner in the passing game, Jared Stidham.
Right. Although, I still think Stidham may have missed a touchdown pass to N'Keal Harry earlier. He had a nice drop back in rhythm, deep crosser, and he underthrew it, and Harry tried to, like, slide and catch it. Not his fault, by the way. Bad throw. So I'm not always ripping N'Keal Harry for everything he does. But this was an old-school Patriots game. This was a turn back the clock, whoop some ass, take names. What it all means, I don't know. They still have a 16% chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, so let's, in closing, feel good about the win. Like, you should enjoy it. Like, your team kicked ass. Like, you should feel good about yourselves. Enjoy it for the night and tomorrow. But then sort of put it all together and realize you have a 16% chance to make the playoffs. You're playing the Rams on Thursday night, so the page turns pretty quickly. And it could be a different story in a couple of days. So keep that in the back of your head, but enjoy the win. Like, the Patriots fans deserve to feel good about this one because they dominated.
And you haven't had one of these. Like, you haven't had, you know, there's been a lot of down to the wire and win on Nick Folk's kicks and make these plays and whatever. You dominated old school style, all three phases, not just, you know, fake complimentary football, real kick-ass complimentary football. And we'll see big picture, whether it really matters. The Broncos game is the one you're going to look back on and say, what the fuck?
Yes. All right. But that's for another time.
All positive.
For January something.
45-0. Gunnar Olszewski joined the history books. It was what? Julian Edelman, Stanley Morgan.
Irving Fryer.
The only guys with punt return touchdowns and receiving touchdowns in the same game.
Noted, I had a tackle too.
He did have a tackle. I like Gunner.
He made me laugh a lot of times in his post games.
Yeah, my wife was watching the game, and she goes, I bet you he's a douche in real life. I go, no, I don't think so.
No,
I like
him. Not.
I said he wears, like, jeans and boots and a ripped-off sleeves, you know, shirt. Like, he's genuine. And even when he said, you know, I think my old man's going to be having a couple beers or something, like, whatever that
whole – champagne.
Yeah, like
– I think that's true. I think that's a fact. That's probably what happened.
You know, before we wrap up quick, he's sort of symbolic of the Patriots a little bit, because this team was left for dead and buried, and so was Gunner. Because screw y'all on Twitter or Pat's Nation that tell me you didn't doubt Gunner and say, why is he still on the team? What does he do?
Most people were saying that.
That was the sentiment like a month ago, and now he's
even riding. Even Bill brought it up that we got to get more out of the kick returns, and he got demoted.
He got benched as a kickoff returner, and now he's riding high. He's in the record books. He's got touchdowns on offense, touchdowns on special teams. So, Gunner, the Patriots, riding high.
Well, he's also the indicative of the team, too. I know we're wrapping this up, but, like, he tries hard. He's a guy that probably works his ass off. Like, he's a guy that you want to root for and all that, but just couldn't put it together on Sundays, and now he kind of is. So, he's symbolic of the entire team for this year.
Yes.
We'll see where that takes him, though.
You want to get any more cheap shots in at Cam before you go?
No, I have no cheap shots for Cam. I even said it. He played a solid game. He did everything that Josh Neal asked him to do. He had some good runs, some good decisions there. I think that they used him properly. I'm with you. He's just not a good passer.
So he's 6-5, correct?
Yes.
What's Tom Brady's record?
7-4? How many games did they play?
I believe he has seven. I believe he's 7-6.
7-6? Yeah.
So they're both one game above 500?
No, they play the same amount of games. Why can't we figure this out? What are the Patriots? What's their record now? 6-6.
So 7-5 for Brady.
7-5, yes.
So he's one game.
Yeah, there's one game difference.
Interesting.
You could twist it a number of ways, but
That's why I just said interesting. I leave it open-ended for people to take that wherever they want to take it. You know, maybe it's a comment on Tom Brady's TB12 PPP loans.
That's true, too. Yeah.
By the way, a lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people didn't like that.
They shouldn't.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that resonated with some people. Some people that were still, like...
loyal to him?
Yeah. I think he lost some people in New England because of that.
I would agree.
That was interesting. Okay, we can wrap this up.
All right, well, we'll come back to you in a short week. I think you said we're going to do one on Tuesday.
Sure. Yeah, we'll do Tuesday.
We can figure it out on either end of your show because you'll be
Tuesday doing... afternoon.
Okay, all right. Sounds good.
And I'm working on the internet thing too.
It was better this podcast. So that's good.
Well, that's because I'm much further away. I'm in an upstairs bedroom instead of sitting right next to the... I think that's the issue. Do you know anything about routers?
No.
Because they're dual band 2.5 something and 5 something. And the 5 something is if you're close. It's supposed to be faster, but it only works when you're close. I think my 5 is broken.
I do know that. Yeah, the Comcast has like 2.5 and 5. Yeah.
I don't think my 5 works. So when I'm close, I think that fucks it up.
You self-diagnosed your podcast. And stop swearing. Mutt told me Friday night his kids listen to this podcast on the way to school. Those, no more swearing.
Mutt's kids listen to this podcast on the way to school?
Yeah, he said that when Mutt drives him to school, he has this playing. He said he listens to this every Monday.
That's borderline child abuse. But hi, Mutt's kids. What are his kids' names?
Carter and...
Oh, that hurts.
I know.
Shout out to Carter and the other one.
All right, we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
All right, peace out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.